Question number one. Does that person give a tithe and offerings to God regularly and joyfully? I mean regularly. Tithing means 10%, right? Let's not try to come up with the same excuse like a Bill Clinton had. What is the definition of is? Tithing is tithing, 1/10. And does that person serve the Lord and His church with all his heart and all her heart? Does the person live the life that reflects Jesus with honor and glory? If that person doesn't do that, that person is not giving the best. Second best, third best, or even the leftovers. Go to the, keep your finger there, Malachi chapter 1, verse 8, please. When you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not
evil?
And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Isn't that penetrating question or what? That means it's going to cost us something, correct? That's the definition of a sacrifice. If I give, let's say I'm a billionaire, if I give $100 to her, would that be sacrifice? Probably not even a change in the pocket. But what if I'm a beggar, I'm a really poor person, and she's a missionary, she came back from the mission field, and all I had was a few dollars, and I gave it to her. What would that be? That's everything. That's a sacrifice. God does not want your leftovers. God wants a sacrifice. Where do we find that kind of example? Go to 2 Samuel, please. Chapter 24. I love this verse. As a Christian, we all should take heed. God says, don't bring any blemish. That's just simple as that. That's really, God never says it's a second class. He never say that. Chapter 24, verse 24. And the king, this is King David, went up to the Mount Moriah. And this is the place where he wants to sacrifice. And the king said, Arunah offered him, take this land, I'll give it to you. I'll even give you the oxen for your sacrifice. This is the king's answer, verse 24. No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offering to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. That's a whole lot more than what it's worth. But he paid the full price. It cost him something. Don't bring to God that costs you nothing. That's not really offering. Again, I said this before, tithe is not because God needs your money. If He wants to, He can make money without going into inflation. I heard report at the Fox News. Who is the guy named the Federal Reserve Chairman? No, he Bernanke. I have to wonder what kind of school he went. He said, we are so much in debt. So he said, we'll just print more money. What kind of school did you go? That's a Federal Reserve Chairman? Just to print more money? Like a monopoly money? Like a funny money? All you do is just accelerating inflation. Anyway, sacrifice should cost us something. Otherwise, it's not sacrifice. That is the definition of sacrifice. Verse 14, back to chapter 17, please. When you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you and possess and dwell in it and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. And you shall surely set king over you whom the Lord your God chooses. One from among your brethren you shall set as a king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother. But he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. Verse 18, so also it shall be that when he sit on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priest and the Levites. It shall be with him, he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his day in his kingdom and his children in the midst of Israel. See, in ancient Israel, there are three types of leadership. Three types of leadership. Moses was a what? He was a prophet. Another type is judges. Third category is kings. Prophets, the two famous are, one is Moses as a leader. I'm not talking about just any prophet. National leader / prophet. Moses, and the second one is Samuel. Very good. Thank you. Yeah, she get a prize. Bill, you're buying her diamond ring again. 2 carats. In between Moses and Samuel, in between, there are a bunch of judges. Who are famous for that? Deborah is famous as a female judge, and Samson was famous. So, prophet, judges, prophet, Samuel was the last prophet. And as a national leader, from that moment, is a king. God did not want them to have a king. He himself told them, I will be your king. But what was the people's reason? We want to be just like the rest of them. It's like a teenager's fashion. Not just teenagers, everybody's fashion. They want to be different, so they all dress alike. I thought, wow, that's a unique idea. See, because they're all made by the Oriental people. There are three things listed in here God told them not to do. And there are two things to do. Let's take a look at the first thing. Verse 2, verse 16. Starting with the verse 16. He shall not multiply the horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. The future king, God is telling, the future king should not put their trust in the military power. What's having a bunch of horses? To have a big army. Instead of depending on his own military power, they should depend on God. Second thing we find in verse 17, he should not multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turns away. Future king should not indulge his physical pleasure too much. Thirdly, should not multiply silver or gold for himself. should not put his emphasis on the personal wealth. See, that each issue is a matter of balance. King could have a military power. King could have a wealth. King could have a wife, one wife. God says, one man and one woman. God never endorsed concubines or princes or the more wives. God never allowed that. See, that the worst, in my opinion, the worst, I think you would agree with me, the worst offender is King Solomon. He had 40,000 stall, whole city was a stall for his horses and chariots. And guess what he did? He went to he sent the people to Egypt to buy more horses. Did he stop there? No. Anytime Solomon was doing something, he always go out of bound. I mean, there's no such a thing as a limit for this man. He had 700 wives and princes and 300 concubines. I don't know how he could remember everybody's name. And he's a total idiot. I said this before, I'm going to say it again. He had 1,000 mothers-in-law to come with. And then he had more silver and gold than any other kings. The silver was considered less than the rocks in the Jerusalem street. He was that influential, so rich. Each of these areas reflect the area places where the Christian leaders, and not just the leaders, everybody can fall. Power, sex, money. God's command for the leaders have not changed. All of us must be guarded against self-deception. Self-deception. In these things which fell Solomon. Remember Jimmy Schweiger? What was his excuse? Because he was doing so much for God, God would, oh yeah, atta boy, I'm going to wink at you, and I'm going to let it slip by. Yeah, that is a self-deception, folks. God does not have a pet. There's two things God told us to do. We find it for the king. Write for himself a copy of this law in the book from the one before the priest and the Levites. God is telling king to write the law with your own hand. I mean, it's like we're copying the word of God letter by letter by our own hand. Do you think that if you finish that Bible, particular Bible, do you think that particular Bible, handwritten Bible by you, would be dear to you? Yeah, it would to me. And on top of what God is telling this kings, future king, to not only just write them, you obey, you observe, you read daily. There's that my mantra, daily devotion, daily prayer. That's the thing that God told him to do. Imitating the world instead of the trusting the Lord has always been a great temptation of God's people and their churches, and each time they circumvent, they suffered due to the lack of trust of God. Trusting God. When the church leader adopts the method of the world marketing strategy, then church has taken a giant step backward to be more like the world rather than Jesus Christ, and is losing divine distinctives. You agree? As I said before, when I came down to here, I didn't have any marketing strategy. Marketing strategy? I didn't even know there was a town called Sararita. I knew Green Valley, and I knew the Green Valley people forget everything, and guess what? I do it very well. See, we don't need to worry about marketing strategy. And one pastor told me, the local pastor told me, well, according to the expert, I should do once a month. He was studying a church, and he came to me for advice. So I said, who told you to do that? He was offended that I asked him that kind of question. Pastor's teaching can give in as well. Instead of trusting the Lord and depending on the Holy Spirit's anointing, guess what they do? They depend on the human psychology. Humanistic psychology and the counseling method. Giving the congregation what they want to hear so they can come back next week instead of giving them what they need to hear. They don't call it sin, sin. They don't call it adultery, adultery. They call it, oh well, it was an affair. It was a beautiful affair. Really? What is such a thing as a beautiful affair? In God's eyes, it's a filthy sin. Let's make four applications. Number one, sin does not require a whole lot of space in our heart, just a tiny portion. Just a tiny portion. Before we know it, it will spread all over like yeast. I'm sure you heard this, the phrase, give an inch to Satan, he will be a ruler. Get that? Give an inch to Satan, he'll be a ruler. He'll be the ruler. Second application. Whenever we take God's blessing, His faith and His faithfulness for granted, it is sure way to become prideful. Somehow we think that God owes us something to make us happy. That's what I call the name it, blab it, name it, grab it, blab it, grab it. Third application, God doesn't deserve our leftover, but our very best. Not the leftovers. He sent you the best, the very best, His Son Jesus. Didn't He? Fourth application, when we are ignorant to the Word of God, we don't even notice that we are compromising into the world. When we don't know the Word of God, we don't even know that we are negative in trouble. Many of you might heard this illustration. You put the frog in the flask, open top, put the mesh on the top, so the frog cannot jump out, and put the with the water inside, and start to heat the water ever so slowly. The frog was swimming around, enjoying the water, until it died by boiling water. Ever so small amount. If we put the frog into the hot boiling water, it will jump right out. If temptation, if the spiritual attack comes to our face, in our face, frontal attack, we'll know how to fight. But temptation and compromise comes in such a small, tiny portion at a time, majority of Christians don't know what's happening. Guess what happened to the kings of Israel, kings of Judah? They didn't start with a full-blown compromise. If the wisest king, if the smartest king ever lived, compromise, do you think you and I have a chance? Unless we put our nose in the grind in the Word of God? We don't. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word. Let us not compromise for what we believe for the moment of pleasure or moment of convenience or moment of pride. Let You be true God in our every area of our lives. You speak to our heart, Lord, not just Thursday night, not just Sunday morning. Let our heart be ever so tender and so sensitive to listen to You and obey You. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.